Welcome back to the Fulton County Gospel News Podcast. My name is Barry O'Dell, and I am your host. Fulton County Gospel News is a bi-monthly publication of The Church of Christ in Mammoth Spring, Arkansas. And if you'd like to learn more about our paper, just visit our website, mammothspringchurchofchrist.com, and there you can get all the information you'll need. You can get the paper as a PDF in your email, or you can get a hard copy through the United States Postal Service. It's always free of charge. Just get a hold of us and let us know what we can do for you. Also, if you've not yet subscribed to this podcast, go to podbean.com, search for Fulton County Gospel News, and become a follower. Find us on Facebook at Church of Christ at Mammoth Spring, and also Fulton County Gospel News Podcast. Today, I'm reaching back into the archives of Fulton County Gospel News, all the way back to February 1971, and I found an article entitled, "Let My Conscience Be Your Guide." And this is an excellent article, I think very well thought out. And in my personal opinion, this is one of the most important topics that needs to be discussed in the church. So let me share this article with you now. The Christian must be concerned with conscience. Paul sought to have a conscience void of offense, Acts 24:16. He taught Christians to obey the civil powers for conscience' sake, Romans 13:5. He recommended to Timothy a pure heart and a good conscience, 1 Timothy 1:5, and said that deacons must hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, 1 Timothy 3:9. It is possible for one to have a seared conscience, 1 Timothy 4:2, or a defiled conscience, Titus 1:15. When one ignores his conscience, he sins. The word conscience comes from two words meaning to know with, or to know together with. The idea is that one must live consistently with that which he believes to be the truth. Now, the way the author wrote this article, the next part of the article, it's entitled Three Errors, and he lists three errors, so that's what we'll read next. Number one, denominationalism. Denominationalism has led many astray on this subject with the well-worn maxim, "Let your conscience be your guide," without bothering to explain that conscience reacts only to what it has been taught. If it has been taught properly, then it is a safe guide. But one may conscientiously do that which is wrong. Paul is the classic example. He said, "I have lived in all good conscience unto this day," Acts 23:1. Yet he devoted himself to the destruction of the church. While his conscience was clear, acting in harmony with what he was convinced was right, his deeds were wrong. When he learned of his error, change was made accordingly, but in both instances, his conscience was clear. Number two, a well-instructed brother must not use his knowledge to influence a weaker brother to violate his conscience. 1 Corinthians 8, 9-13 teaches that it is possible for a strong brother to engage in an act which is right within itself, but which offends the conscience of the weaker brother because he is not acting in harmony with what he is convinced is right for him to do. This does not mean that the weaker brother is not to be taught, nor is he to interfere with the liberty of the stronger brother who is taught. One causes another to stumble in such instances when he influences him to do what he does with a clear conscience, while the other man's conscience hurts him when he does it. It is in this connection that Paul said, "If meat makes my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world stands, lest I make my brother offend." 1 Corinthians 8:13. "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin," Romans 14:23. It is therefore wrong to run roughshod over the sensitive conscience of weak brethren and to seek to compel them to have the same scruples, or lack of them, touching some point which we have. Number three, but I fear that some of my brethren have fallen into a third error as touching the conscience, and that is expressed in the title of this article, "Let My Conscience Be Your Guide." All of us have scruples on the application of some points which others of us do not share. That does not mean that the Bible teaches contradictory principles or commandments. It does not. But the application of these principles must be worked out by every man consistent with his own conscience. For instance, one brother understands Romans 13 to teach that a child of God can bear the sword for the civil power in war, while another is convinced that this presses the principle to the point of violation of other clearly taught duties. One brother is convinced that he cannot be a policeman, while another is equally conscientious, believes he can. In such action, the conscience of neither is offended. One believes a man may serve on a jury, and another believes he cannot. One brother believes he cannot eat a meal in a restaurant which has a cocktail lounge on the side, while another equally opposed to strong drink sees no difference in that and in buying groceries from a supermarket which has a counter full of beer, wine, and the ingredients for mixing strong drinks. In the church, there is too much of a tendency for some brethren to want to bind their own scruples on a variety of matters on the consciences of other brethren. Thus, their attitude is, "Let my conscience be your guide." There are some questions which, in the final analysis, have to be determined by each one in his own conscience. One cannot force his scruples upon another without sinning. This is the gist of Romans 14 concerning the eating of meats offered in sacrifice to idols and the esteeming of some days unto the Lord which others did not choose to do. Paul said, "Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind," Romans 14:5. From all of this, we can draw some pertinent conclusions. Number one, one must act consistently with his own conscience. To do otherwise is to sin and sear the conscience. Number two, yet conscience is no safer a guide than the reliability of the instruction which molded it. One may do wrong with a clear conscience, because he is untaught. Number three, there are personal applications of divine truth which involve deciding how far one goes in his own duty. In such cases, each must respect the conscience of the other. Many of the disputes which arise in congregations fall into this last category. Brethren have been known to divide congregations over them. Be it known that I am not writing of matters which pertain to the work, worship, or organization of the church, nor of those things which have to do with what a sinner must do in order to be saved. What I have said has to do only with the realm of private judgment, which involves Christians in multitudinous decisions throughout a lifetime, and in which they must act in harmony with their own conscience based on their own conviction of the truth. Let one not become so arrogant as to say in word or in deed, "Let my conscience be your guide." All right, so again, that article comes from the February 1971 edition of Fulton County Gospel News. It's a good article. If I had written it, I may have written it with a few different words, but it makes the same point I would have made. And it makes, in fact, the same point, obviously, that Scripture makes. Otherwise, I wouldn't be sharing the content. Romans chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, all three of those texts deal with the conscience, the individual's conscience, not only one's own personal conscience, but the having an awareness of the conscience of others. You know, so many people have the mindset of they just don't care what other people think, they'll do what they want to do. Scripture does not permit the Christian to live like that, to be selfish and self-centered and non-caring. What it does permit us to do is to, and this is what Paul says in Romans chapter 15 as he continues talking about the conscience. Listen to Romans 15:1. "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each one of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification." And then you skip down to verse 7, Romans 15:7. "Therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God." So this issue of conscience, I think right now, this particular time of year, it comes out greatly on social media. I see Christians posting things on Facebook like, well, it's a sin to celebrate Halloween. It's a sin to go trick-or-treating. It's a sin for you to have a Christmas tree in your house. It's a sin to listen to Christmas music. It's this holiday season that really, to me, highlights the importance of us knowing what Scripture says about scruples, matters of private judgment, matters of conscience. Listen, if you don't want to have a Christmas tree in your house, don't have one in your house. Scripture doesn't say anything about it, positively or negatively. If you don't want to celebrate the holidays, don't. But that's your conscience. And don't try to let your conscience be my guide. And I won't let my conscience be your guide. Let each, and the article, the author of that article, whoever it was, noted that verse in Romans 14 and verse 5, which to me is kind of the central point of that whole chapter. Let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. We need to know what the Bible says about conscience, about our conscience, and our awareness of the conscience of others. All right, so I hope this article has been beneficial to you. Again, if you would like the paper, visit our website, mammothspringchurchofchrist.com, and let us know what we can do for you. The subscription is always free. Subscribe to the podcast on podbean.com. Follow us on Facebook. Again, Church of Christ at Mammoth Spring on Facebook, and also Fulton County Gospel News Podcast on Facebook. Well, thank you for listening today, and I will catch you on the next episode of Fulton County Gospel News Podcast.